What if Sean McVay, this is a pipe dream, says, I don't want to be in L.A. anymore? This market of head coaches, which is already really good and really appealing, could get better. So I just want to calm everyone down. Mm-hmm. Harbaugh's awesome. It would be an amazing hire. But this list could get even better, bro.
Matt LaFleur could appear on this list as well.
That's true. By the way, Tiki's off. That's why you're hearing Sean's voice, even though this is Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash. Tiki back tomorrow.
Yes, Matt LaFleur could add to this list. This is wild, Evan. I remember we talked about when Dable got fired, and what was so unappealing to me as a Giants fan was you heard every defensive coordinator name, and we don't need to rehash them now at this point because they might become really irrelevant. But it was the idea of, you know, it just feels like the Giants waited with Brian Dable, held on to him, and now they're going to have a head coaching vacancy in what appears to be the worst year to need a head coach.
Yep.
It's completely done a 180.
100%.
This might be the best year for an organization like the Giants to be looking for a head coach, so they better get it right and not whiff now.
But that's why you got to take your time.
No, you don't.
You just want to hire John Harbaugh after you fulfill the Rooney Rule and that's it? Just move on?
Here's the worry about John Harbaugh, and here's what's already happening to me, which has put me in sheer panic mode. We get the report last night that John Harbaugh, agent, has already had seven teams reach out to him. Was that the number? And there's six openings besides the Ravens?
There are seven openings. The Ravens are one of them. So, yes, there is a mystery team that has reached out who currently has a head coach for John Harbaugh.
Now, I don't know. Maybe at some point in the next 4 hours, we play guess the mystery team, and that's fine. But the bottom line is this. If the mystery team is a team in the postseason that is going to do a Joe Girardi, and it doesn't matter when they get eliminated, they're going to get rid of their guy.
Mm-hmm.
And John Harbaugh knows that and wants to speak with that team because clearly that's a more ready team than the Giants because they're in the freaking postseason, right? I am not delaying hiring Kevin Stefanski with the hopes and dreams of hiring John Harbaugh only for him to leave us at the altar for insert Bills, Packers, Eagles, whoever here.
Right.
I'm not doing that. Kevin Stefanski had dinner with the New York Giants last night. I hope it wasn't fast food. He is now meeting with them today. They're going to meet with Mike McCarthy. I understand it's a process and you're going to speak to multiple people and Stefanski knows that. But if Kevin Stefanski, whose first flight out of Cleveland was to land at Newark Airport and go meet with the New York Giants, wants you that badly. If Harbaugh wasn't available, I believe he is. And I said this yesterday, the best head coaching candidate out there.
John Harbaugh is.
Before Harbaugh got fired,
I'm trying to figure out what you're saying.
My point is, Stefanski is still that worthy and that good a candidate.
Okay.
That I'm not allowing him to feel like we want Harbaugh. He goes to Atlanta, takes that job, and then Harbaugh decides in 3 weeks he's taking the Eagle job, and the Giants end up with neither. So you could preach patience, and I get patience, and Harbaugh might be the closest thing to Tom Coughlin that this team has seen. But at the expense of losing Kevin Stefanski in a waiting game with no guarantees from John Harbaugh, I'm not waiting.
You're being way too, the word I want to use, it's not appropriate, but it's horny. You're being way too horny for John Harbaugh and Kevin Stefanski.
Because it has to be, Evan.
No. This marketplace we're looking at right now has a chance to be historic. I mean, when you think about the head coaching candidates that are currently available and may well be available. Here's the thing about John Harbaugh, and you just brought it up. I think he was Joe Girardi'd, personally.
Okay.
I don't think the missed field goal impacted John coming back or not. Like, I think if the Ravens made the postseason and won a game or won a week or won 2 weeks, I think ultimately they were going to make this change anyway based on the reporting of last night, which is that there were going to be staff changes. Him and Lamar Jackson may have had a falling out.
He wanted to keep Todd Monken. He wanted to get rid of him.
And also that he, quote, lost the locker room.
Like, right, which is crazy.
If that stuff is true, and I believe that reporting from last night, then I don't think it would have mattered if they won on Sunday. Like, I think eventually John would have been out. Now, why is that important? It's important in talking about Mike Tomlin. It's important in talking about Sean McDermott. It's important in talking about Nick Sirianni. These are all currently employed head coaches who very well may be gone in the next few weeks. Now, I'm not saying they should all shoot to the top of your list. I know one of them that does. It's Mike Tomlin. I asked you guys last week, I asked everybody in the audience, if both of these guys became available, Mike Tomlin or John Harbaugh, who would you prefer? Universally on this radio show, Tiki Barber, Sean Morash, Tommy Lugauer, who's doing a great job doing After Hours, and myself, we all said Mike Tomlin.
Sure.
So why would you make decisions rushed when it's entirely possible, by the way, even with a playoff win this weekend against Jacksonville, that Tomlin could be out? Like, you need to take a deep breath, look at the lay of the land, interview everybody, which the Giants are about to do, and take your time with this process because this has a chance to be one of the greatest list of available head coaches maybe we've ever seen.
I can't argue that, and I want to make it very clear. I prefer John Harbaugh over Kevin Stefanski. Well, I might have a slightly Stefanski, but overall the idea of, like, I know the Giants aren't winning three games next year with John Harbaugh, so I clearly want to speak to him and do all of this.
Save that audio, Connor.
They are.
You never know.
In relation to Mike Tomlin, you're right, but here's the simple threading of the needle here. We're already at Wednesday. Clearly the Giants are no NFL team, even if it was Harbaugh, is going to make a hire by Friday before wildcard weekend because there's so much of a process. The Rooney rule and interviewing two external candidates.
Two external minority candidates. Yep. I know that they've already scheduled an interview with Vance Joseph.
And I believe Antonio Pierce.
And Antonio Pierce, the guy you predicted the Giants would ultimately hire. Yes.
Okay. So it's not like you have to make this decision this week, but the longer this goes on, like if Tomlin beats the Texans on Monday night and we get into next week and now teams have already kind of cycled through interviews and you've gotten through a lot of the requirements and fulfillments and you're still at that, I don't know, you met with Harbaugh, but he's deciding. And now it's really gotten hot and heavy where I'm going to keep using the Falcons as an example. Mm-hmm. The Falcons are like, nah, man, Stefanski's our guy. And Kevin Stefanski's going to the Giants going, I wanted you. I flew to you first. You're waiting on this. I just think this is too crucial hire. Yesterday, we called it, right, the most important hire in Giants history.
And I think it's actually become more important over the last few hours because of the sheer amazingness of some of these candidates.
And maybe this is a loser mentality and the Giants have trained me this way. They can't lose here. And the only way you lose, now, if one of those guys became available, Tomlin, I get it. But if right now, the only candidates that truly do become available is who we know now, which includes Harbaugh and Stefanski, they can't whiff and go 0-2.
Okay, so here's where I think you're thinking about this wrong, and I understand your struggles with this. This is a struggle I have. I am not a good-looking guy. I know that. I think Sean's pretty aware of his looks. So our reaction is to just, you don't agree with that? You think you're hot?
I don't think I'm hot, but I was always meant to look near 40.
Okay, fair enough. I think when you are like me, I'll just use myself then since you don't want to pick on yourself. Mm-hmm. Someone like me says, ooh, she's hot. I have to ask her out immediately. When someone is attractive, they know they're going to get their pick of the litter.
Right.
So John Harbaugh and Kevin Stefanski, well, I don't think Stefanski is the candidate that Harbaugh is. He is still an appealing candidate to many teams, are also going to wait. They're also going to look at, hey, maybe the Eagles have an opening. Maybe the Buffalo Bills have an opening. So they're smart enough to know we're not just going to jump because the Giants are jumping quickly. And the Giants as an organization have to have the self-confidence between the quarterback that they have, the history of the franchise that they have, that they're an appealing team. So rushing to get this done is sloppy. I think what you've got to do, and so far the Giants are doing it, is interview everybody. Mm-hmm. Have an open process. John's available. Great. Call up his agent. I'd like to interview you. I think there is a real chance that the list of candidates is only going to get more impressive, starting with Mike Tomlin. I've made that prediction since June. We'll see if I'm ultimately right. I think he's going to be available, and I'll ask you the question today that I asked you on Friday because I know opinions change around here sometimes. If I gave you the choice between Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, who are you picking as the next head coach of the New York Football Giants?
I would pick Mike Tomlin.
So you're staying the same on that?
I'm staying the same, but
he can be available.
He can be.
So take a deep breath.
But guess what? A funny thing happened last night. The Giants became no longer the most valuable option for a free agent coach. The Ravens are. Yeah. They already have Lamar
Jackson.
Well,
they're not for John Harbaugh.
But man, Tomlin wouldn't go there?
No, because remember, he's under contract. And so I think ultimately what the Steelers may do if they move on from Mike Tomlin is orchestrate a trade.
Okay.
They're not going to trade him inside the division. John Harbaugh's been let go. It's different. John can go wherever he wants. I just kind of have a feeling like the handling of Tomlin, if it gets handled, may be slightly different.
Maybe, but that would also require, remember, this is why Sean Payton got traded. The Saints wanted to hold on to Sean Payton. Sean Payton wanted to step away.
Sure.
If the Steelers are done with Mike Tomlin, they're done with Mike Tomlin. The trades only work if Tomlin is, like, he's the one that wants
that. No, I understand. My point is, though, I need to find out. Like, okay. I agree with you, and I think most of the audience feels this way, that, and these are two great candidates, Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, and ultimately, despite that game on Sunday night, feeling like the loser loses their job, they both may lose their job.
Yeah.
May end up with both guys leaving town. It would be like, I give you a wrestling reference, WrestleMania 20 between Brock Lesnar and Goldberg. They fought this horrible match, they both left.
Yeah.
That could be Tomlin and, that's a good analogy.
It is.
12 people that get it.
But you brought up the idea that, you know, the Giants need to have self-confidence. In my opinion, the Giants have already screwed this up. Okay, hear me out. What is the purpose of firing a coach or a general manager in season? We used to hear the purpose was to get a jump start on figuring this out.
Yep.
And the Giants, as they inevitably always do, they rely on the idea that they're loyal. They're a family-run business. They want to take care of people and everything that goes with it. They cared so much about Mike Kafka's feelings as he was, you know, interim coaching this and wanting to get the best shot, not wanting to offend him, that they failed to take advantage of firing Brian Daboll early. You know how you get a jump start on showing John Harbaugh or Kevin Stefanski how much you really want him? You've already conducted interviews with Mike McCarthy or Antonio Pierce or anybody else who was said available at the time. The Giants shouldn't be starting this week with their first round of interviews. The guys who are available, they shouldn't be waiting until next week to speak to Mike McCarthy. They should have spoke to him 3 weeks ago. They should have had a formal interview with Antonio Pierce 2 weeks ago, which would have, that would have been one of the requirements.
Right, right.
They are already behind the eight ball. If they were ahead of the game.
I don't think they're behind the
eight ball. No, but they could be more aggressive now.
Yeah.
They could be.
Is that, by the way, I genuinely don't know the answer to that. Is that normal for a team who has an interim head coach to start interviewing candidates before the season is over?
You're allowed to.
No,
is that as long as they're available.
Is that a common thing, though?
I'd have to go back and actually look, but
doesn't feel like that's happened.
Because it feels like a lot of teams have this respect thing. I think the Giants need to stop worrying about respect. There's always a concern.
Fair, but I don't think that changes this process.
The Giants, I think it does.
The Giants right now are one of the most appealing teams out there with a coaching vacancy, and coaches are going to wait. Like, if Kevin Stefanski right now prefers the New York Giants, he's going to wait to find out if he gets the job, like anybody applying for a job. So I think them going through their exhaustive process beginning right now doesn't put them behind the eight ball, especially to my point that patience is needed knowing more candidates may be available. Like, it's no longer Black Monday. The John Harbaugh news happened on Tuesday. And like I mentioned, there are other candidates like Sean McDermott, who I may not love, but in fairness, he may be available and is certainly someone who you should interview. Mike Tomlin may be available. Nick Sirianni may be available if the Eagles flame out. I think a LaFleur you mentioned is another possibility. So I think what you got to do is take a deep breath.
Okay. Have you ever heard the phrase, don't let them out of the building?
Yes.
Okay. The Giants have to let Stefanski and Harbaugh out of the building.
Absolutely.
Which you wouldn't have to if you got a jump start on this process.
But letting someone out of the building is the most overrated thing in the world. If John wants the Giant job and you ultimately offer it to him 3 weeks from now when you see the other candidates and you've interviewed everybody, he's going to take the job.
But
you think he's going to take the job on Thursday as opposed to three Thursdays
from
now?
If John Harbaugh really wants the Giant job and the Giants have already done their due diligence and checked off boxes on other interviews, then why would the Giants not just throw him? John, what is it going to take you to be here? Don't get out of the building.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowing him to. What if John Harbaugh?
Because a better candidate may become available, Sean. That's my point. And you agree with me because you feel Mike Tomlin is a better candidate.
While I agree with you, Mike Tomlin's also not that much greater a candidate than John Harbaugh that I'm risking all of this.
I also want to address my fellow Jet fans. I have been on the radio the last couple of shows actually defending Aaron Glenn coming back as Jet head coach. And most of my defense has been about not wanting to go one and done. But I do want to hold myself accountable for something I did say back on December 18th and address it. This is what I said about potentially doing an about-face on Aaron Glenn returning for a second year. And while there was bad in year one, to me there isn't enough to fire a coach after one season. I would not personally do it. I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, but
it would cause me panic on where they're going to go next. Look, the only way this works, and this is kind of seedy, but I'm being honest with you, is if Mike Tomlin secretly calls me and says, yeah, me and the Steelers are breaking up, and I want your job. Or John Harbaugh calls me and says, yeah, me and the Ravens are breaking up, and I want your job. Well, yeah, I'm not an idiot, of course. If you're giving me this great proven head coach, would I rather hire that person than just be fair to Aaron Glenn? Of course. All right. So I'm not an idiot. And today on January 7th, I will say it again. Of course I'd fire Aaron Glenn's ass and hire John Harbaugh. That is a slam dunk. I don't think any Jet fan would call up and debate me on that. Here's the problem. I said in that clip, I'm not an idiot. I stand by that. I am not naive enough or idiotic enough to think that John Harbaugh would take me, that John Harbaugh would take Woody, that John Harbaugh would take the mess that is the New York Jets. I get we have five first-round picks over the next 2 years. I get it. I get it that Woody Johnson has some political influence. I get it. We are being naive and crazy to think that John Harbaugh would tell the New York Giants, I'm good, would tell the Atlanta Falcons, I'm good, would tell whatever other team, the Philadelphia Eagles, who may have a coaching vacancy and John Harbaugh has a long history with, I'm good. He's not picking the Jets. So I stand by what I said. If Woody Johnson can secretly reach out to John to just get the confirmation, and he's not going to use me and abuse me the way Mike Vrabel did a year ago, I would absolutely secretly reach out and find out, because you never know, right? Yeah. As much as I do know. But let's not get crazy, Jet fans. He's not coming to us. So what are we going to do? We're going to fire Aaron Glenn for the 2% shot that John Harbaugh would get wasted one night and say, I'm going to take the Jet job? Not going to happen.
So, while I agree with you, I also don't think you could completely dismiss it. Now, you'd have to know he was coming. I get that. You wouldn't fire Aaron Glenn without knowing he's coming. But, man, you know, the Jets picking second in the draft. How do you know if John Harbaugh doesn't like a Dante Moore, Fernando Mendoza?
Sean,
how do you know?
Sean.
And remember,
Sean,
this is different. Hold on. He knows.
Sean.
He ain't getting fired after 1 year or 2 years with the New York Jets. He knows that.
Yeah.
He knows that he is good for at least 3 years, and they have a treasure trove of assets that he could build the thing from the ground up. Again, I know I'm talking out of one side of my mouth and out of there. I think he would prefer other jobs. But you also don't know that. Like, there is a certain appeal to what the Jets have at the bare bones. You could build the whole thing up.
Sean, as a fan, I've been naive before. Like, there are times I came on the radio and said, Phil Jackson would take the next job, or whatever other stupid thing I thought could possibly happen. John Harbaugh is not taking the Jets job. So, to my fellow Jet fans, to Craig, because I know that was his first reaction yesterday, too. I get it. We all feel the same way. We all look at John Harbaugh as the perfect guy for this franchise. That is not an unpopular, uncommon opinion. But it ain't real.
Well,
it is the most unrealistic thing sports-wise we could ever put together. It is more unrealistic John Harbaugh takes the Jet job than Steve Cohen wakes up today and says, I'm going to trade Soto back to the Yankees. Like, it's just not happening.
Can I tell you why you're being a little bit of a hypocrite?
Oh, yeah. Hypocrite?
Yeah.
I'm being real. I'm trying to be real with everybody.
An H-Y-pocrite, okay? Here's the thing, Evan. You just said the Giants need to be patient because Mike Tomlin or what the heck's the idiot's name? Nick Sirianni in Philadelphia.
the idiot.
I was going to call him Nick Stefanski. You can tell what's in my mouth. any of these guys could become available. If this ends up being a historic, coaching class, there's only so many chairs to fill.
And they're still not taking the Jets. They're still not taking the Jets.
Well, you know what? Then you have no hope for the future.
No, my hope
because
is that.
Because if you can't get a coach in this class that's better than Aaron Glenn, then what are we doing? Close up shop and move to Canada.
Now, this is mostly going to be a Giant day, but I did want to address this Jet stuff. And let's go to a Jet fan, Jason in Fairfield, Connecticut. Jason, your thoughts on all this?
Exactly. All I got to say to you boys is exactly. I've been watching the Jets screw this up forever. Who do we have? We had Pete Carroll.
Yeah,
in 1994.
We had him for 1 year, yes.
We got rid of him. We got rid of him for Rich Kotite. Then we had Robert Saleh. What did we do? Who was it? Jim Harbaugh was available. We didn't even reach out to him. Then we escort Robert Saleh the very next year out of the building halfway through the season. It wasn't like Robert Saleh was killing it. And now we have Aaron Glenn, who's not killing it. And we have an absolute historic opportunity to get an established head coach who knows what the hell's going on out there. And we're going to sit there and say, nope, we're going to stick to Aaron Glenn. And what, are we going to escort him out of the building next year? I mean, I couldn't agree with you guys more. But, Evan, the only thing I disagree with is you'll never know if somebody wants the job unless you reach out to the guy secretly.
Yeah, Jason, you hit it. I am endorsing Woody Johnson to be seedy and secretive. And you know what, Woody? Political. I want you behind the scenes. And I know it's dirty. I feel bad saying it, but I got to be real. And other teams doing it because some unnamed team has already reached out to John Harbaugh and his agent, and they currently have a job. And by the way, I think I know who the team is. I think if we use our brain, we all know who the team is. A team with a track record of being seedy and undermining guys who are currently employed. And that's the Miami Dolphins. They've done it before.
Troy Aikman making that call?
I don't know if it's Troy, but it's the owner. What's it? Stephen Ross.
Stephen Ross.
He's done it before. So that's neither here nor there. I think the Dolphins are doing it. I think the Jets have to do it. I agree with you. I'd be seedy. I would reach out to Harbaugh's camp without firing Aaron Glenn and just get an idea. What do you think? If Mike Tomlin becomes available, same thing.
What makes the Dolphins any more appealing than the Jets? Be honestly.
Where it's located.
That's it. That's it. Think about it. The Jets actually have a better track record of finishing the quarterback position than the Dolphins right now.
Well, the Jets have also won a playoff game more recently than the Miami Dolphins. We'll get your calls next. Giant fans, is it universal? Do you all want John Harbaugh? Would you do it today? Would you be patient? Is he still not your number one candidate? We'll hear from you coming up, 888-808-1019. We'll get a lot of information coming up at 1 o'clock because the great Connor Hughes will join us of SNY at 1. what's going on with this Giants search, even some Jet stuff. So we got a very, very busy show as we take you right up until the Carton Show at 2 o'clock.
How about those New York Islanders?
They just scored again.
Yes, New Jersey's stepchild of a hockey team went to the big outlet last night, lost 9-0. Anthony Duclair became the first NHL player to have a natural hat trick, 5 or more points, and a +6 rating since Wayne Gretzky in February of 1981. Congrats to the Red Hot Islanders.
How many times in Islander history have they scored 9 or more goals?
I don't know.
Well, it's a trivia question, so this is the part where you guess.
Oh, how many times in Islanders history? I'm going to say 16.
16 times?
Yeah.
This was the 44th time in Islander history that they have scored 9 or more goals. How many times in Ranger history have they scored 9 or more goals? And obviously the Rangers have been around for a much longer period of time than the Islanders. They've got them beat by about 50 years.
79.
49.
Wow, that's it?
That's it.
It ain't happening this year.
5 more times than the Islanders, yet they've been around for
incredible
much longer. But to give the Rangers credit, the most goals they've ever scored in a game is 12. The most the Islanders have ever scored in a game, which they've done multiple times, is 11.
So 11.
Okay. There you go.
How
some
about
hockey
that?
Factoids for you. Let's get to your phone calls. John Harbaugh is now available. Giant fans want him. Some Giant fans want him tomorrow. Some Giant fans want to wait. Jet fans are drooling, thinking, let's just fire Aaron Glenn and get him. Let's hear from the people, and we'll kick it off with Mike in the Bronx. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, Evan. I love the show. How are you?
Appreciate it. What's up, man?
Good. I want to get the point, though. You know, the fans always talk about this owner wants to win, you know, badly or the other one. Honestly, in football, it doesn't really matter that much. All he needs to know how to run a football team because how much money could he spend. In this case, you know, old Woody, you know, his inside guys always said, Woody really, really wants to win, but, you know, he just, like, makes mistakes. Okay, fine. Here's the one opportunity you have to show how much you really want to win. There's no salary cap here. Did John Gruden really want the Raiders when he went to that disaster of organization when he was 0 for 10 years? They gave him an offer he can't refuse. I'm not naive enough like you to think he really, really wants the Jets. Well, maybe right. The Jets really, really want him. Evan was crying that Hal gave $930 million to Soto, but didn't give $1 billion. Okay, so let's cry now and say, this, we're not asking for $1 billion. Probably, you know, coaches don't get paid that much. Go into your bank account. It's one opportunity to outspend other teams.
It's a great point. No, you're 1,000% right about that. I think it needs to be done in the Jets case. We'll get to the Giants in a second. In a seedy way, I am not firing Aaron Glenn for the small percentage chance I'm getting him. Like, I'm not doing that. So I would, yes, behind the scenes, float to the agent, we'll make you the highest paid coach in the history of football. And we'll do it by a lot. Because he's right. I have said that about Steve Cohen and the Mets, that to be the big brother, to be the team that is more appealing than the Yankees and the Dodgers,
right. You
got to outspend. Well, the Jets are further away from everyone else in the NFL than the Mets were from the Giants and the Dodgers, Yankees and the Dodgers. So, yeah, I think Woody Johnson would have to write that big of a check. I'm just being real with everyone to know that that's not going to happen.
The more I thought about it in the commercial break, the more I think the Jets have to fire Aaron Glenn. This is all workshopping in real time. You said that in the open that resonated about, like, the historic class. Think back to this class pre Stefanski and Harbaugh. All of those guys were deemed worthy enough, even if I didn't love a lot of them for the Giants. They're all getting pushed down the ladder, bro. You're telling me none of them are a better option than Aaron Glenn for this team?
No, but I think what you're forgetting as an option is not coaching next year. Like, it's not as if Kevin Stefanski needs to coach in 2026. Same with John Harbaugh. Now, we are making assumptions that they will.
Oh, they will.
They probably will, but if the job available isn't the best one for them, they're not. Like, your whole point to me is, well, eventually the Jet job may be the best one out there, so they'll take it. No. If Kevin Stefanski is sitting without a chair and the Jets are, like, the only job available, what he'll probably do is sit back and wait a year or two for what is deemed a better job.
All right, but you want to talk about getting the appealing candidate. If those guys get pushed down the rung and this year you draft one of those quarterbacks, maybe they're not that good. Like, and whatever coaching candidates now next year look at the Jet job and go, well, this is even less appealing than it was a year ago. The Jet job could get less appealing, bro.
It could get more appealing.
Okay.
I mean, if I believe Darren Mooji and they use their draft picks correctly.
Do you believe Darren Mooji? Because he was barely allowed to speak.
You know what? Here's what's funny about it. And we played it in its entirety as we interrupted and gave our thoughts in the 1 o'clock hour yesterday. So if you missed it, you could always go to the Evan and Tiki podcast and check it out. So you didn't miss a word of what Mooji and Glenn said. I like Darren Mooji. I kind of believe him. Now, he didn't use a lot of words, but he also didn't use a lot of coach speak. He kind of just told you the deal. And his moves and his actions so far have been relatively good. So what's my confidence level in Darren Mooji? I'm not telling you it's through the roof, but it's certainly a lot higher than it is in Aaron Glenn.
Okay.
Let's go to Dominic in New Rochelle. Good morning, Dominic.
Hey, what's up, guys? Yeah, yesterday I called you up saying the only no-brainer was John Harbaugh, but he wasn't available at the time. I didn't think the Ravens were going to let him go, which is why I didn't think there was a clear-cut candidate. But this is a gift from the gods here, a layup for the Giants. This is 100% a must-hire. You cannot waste any time here. Evan, I wouldn't even waste my time interviewing McCarthy and other candidates. He's had three losing seasons out of 18, a program builder, culture changer, great leader. His resume speaks for itself. I think this would be a major fail if the Giants do not hire him, because that he is available now. And Evan, Tomlin isn't available as of now, so we don't know. And the margin between Tomlin and Harbaugh isn't a lot. If anything, it's almost even. So this is why I wouldn't even wait here. They need to hire Harbaugh immediately, at least by the end of the week, fellas.
By the end of the week? I'll make you this prediction. I do not think the Giants are hiring a coach by the end of the week. It does lead me, and we should wait for Tiki, but you know what? Tiki did Tiki with Tuesdays the other day, so maybe we'll skip him. And that is a long-term prediction on the date the Giants hire a new head coach. Ooh. I'll tell you this, it ain't going to be January 15th.
No. And again, NFL rules aren't going to allow you to hire the coach as quickly as you think.
I mean, it depends. That's not true.
It could be by the 15th.
It depends who you're hiring. If they're hiring John Harbaugh, they could technically hire him in a few days as long as they fulfill the requirements of the Rooney rule. They could hire him next week. I just don't think they will.
Speaking of that, the Jets, when they interviewed Vrabel last year, was in week 17.
What was that?
The Jets.
Oh, okay, so there has been at least
to go
an
back
example
to my point
of doing it early.
And if the Giants had interviewed McCarthy and Antonio Pierce, we're already down this road here.
Yeah, and they could have, because both guys were clearly available. Let's go to Tom in Howell, New Jersey. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
I got 2 points. First, regarding McCarthy, you know, can you just try to explain maybe where is this notion that Harbaugh is so much better than McCarthy? You know, the record, the resumes are almost identical.
Ooh, can I start, Tom?
So that's 1 point.
Tom.
And the second point.
Well, he's got a second point. Let him make it, and then we'll address.
Okay.
We'll address. Go ahead, Tom.
The second point is just coming from Tiki, you know, always about the staff. In your mind, is Harbaugh the one going to be able to put the best staff together as well, besides the coach?
It's a great question. I think, John, if you look at his resume in Baltimore, put together some really, really good staffs.
That was, just to interrupt, because I listened to Tuesdays with Tiki.
Yeah.
That was Tiki's biggest concern and why he doesn't want Harbaugh is he's concerned with the staff, which I completely disagree with.
I disagree with that. I think his staffs have been good over the years.
Yep.
So I appreciate Tom's phone call because I think it is a really, really, really good point. And I thought our boy Tommy made a really good job of doing this last night. We all know Tommy Lugauer, if you've listened to our show, he was a big supporter of Mike McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? No biggie.
And last night he laid out, look, I'm excited John Harbaugh is available, but Mike McCarthy and John Harbaugh have very similar resumes. And I heard him say it. I'm like, he's kind of right. So I did my own research. I started writing stuff down. In fact, I got it right in front of
him. Right. I did my research.
Comparing the resumes of John Harbaugh and Mike McCarthy. Let's start with the ages, because age seems to be a big deal, even though it's just a number. Look at our last two presidents. Mike McCarthy is 62. John Harbaugh is 63. I would say they're the same age.
Yep.
Tom Coughlin, when hired by the Giants, was 58. So, just to give you perspective.
Yeah, fair enough.
They both have coached 18 years in the NFL. Okay?
Okay.
Mike McCarthy, 174 and 112. John Harbaugh, 180 and 113. That is a slightly better winning percentage for John Harbaugh, 614 to 608. The playoff records.
Mm-hmm.
Mike McCarthy is 11 and 11. John Harbaugh is 13 and 11.
Mm-hmm.
Both have won a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Okay? This is the other one I really like. Over 500 seasons, under 500 seasons, and right at 500 seasons. John Harbaugh, 13 of 18 years above 500. There were three under 500 seasons, 2 years of being at 500. Mike McCarthy, 12 above 500 seasons, five under, one even. That resume tells you that John Harbaugh is slightly better. That's what the resume tells you. Those numbers, which I think are fair, their win-loss records, what they've done in the playoffs, obviously the Super Bowls are equal. It is clearly an edge for John, but it's very small. Mm-hmm. So our last caller brings up a great point, and like I mentioned, Tommy was asking the same question.
Yeah.
Why do we view John Harbaugh as an absolute slam dunk, you cannot wait, hire him today? And yet some of the rhetoric around Mike McCarthy has been, dare I say, unfair. Why are they talked about so differently? Now that I've laid all the facts out,
I know.
The floor is yours.
Could you tell it was like an excited puppy dog that jumped down your throat there?
Well, I just wanted everyone to have the facts because I knew it matters. And now you can determine what you want.
By the way, I was fighting with Tommy last night via text. So this is where I have all my information here. What do you think is more impressive? Now, we already agree he has a slightly bigger resume. We gave Mike McCarthy credit for all these big win seasons. Aaron Rodgers, Dak Prescott. Freaking John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Is it more impressive that John Harbaugh won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco or less impressive that Mike McCarthy only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers and lost all those championship games? Also, all the talk about all the win seasons. This year, the Eagles snapped a very significant streak, which was no repeat winners in the NFC East. And we all agree the NFC East, we live it, right, is a very difficult division. John Harbaugh's done that in the AFC North, which is consistently a really good division, won back-to-back divisions. Mike McCarthy couldn't do that in Dallas with Dak Prescott. Now, you want to talk about that small potatoes? That's fine. There's a lot more consistency with John Harbaugh. And also, John Harbaugh, when he loses his quarterback, he's making playoff games with Snoop Huntley.
Yeah.
Cooper Rush ain't doing that with the Dallas Cowboys and McCarthy.
Here's the problem with your argument, because I have a counter to you, but it's also, like, weird because the coach deserves credit for everything.
Yeah.
Like, the coach really does deserve credit for everything. Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy, and I made a big point of this when Aaron came to the Jets, never had a top 10 defense after the Super Bowl year.
Fair.
The Ravens basically had top 5 defenses every single year. Now, I don't want to use that against John because he's the head coach.
He's the head coach. He's in touch with who's hiring to run the defense.
But you're also kind of decreasing the value of McCarthy winning because he had Aaron Rodgers, a quarterback he helped develop.
Who?
Like, it's almost as if what you and Tommy are doing, and I don't mean to knock Tommy right in this, but I'm going to knock you mostly, is you have your opinions and you're shaping the argument based around what you want. I'm being perfectly honest. Like,
okay.
I think Mike McCarthy is a wonderful head coach who I would hire if I'm the New York Giants. But I, too, fall victim to putting John on a much higher pedestal than I do Mike. Now, I like Mike. I am not anti-McCarthy the way you are. I think I'm fair. But yet, I do find myself, to our last caller's point, putting John on a much higher pedestal than McCarthy, even though the resume tells us otherwise. And I was very self-reflective on, well, why do I do it? And I think the reason I do it is the consistency of being in one place.
Sure.
Which in a weird way, I should give McCarthy credit. Isn't it more difficult to go to another place and have success? But then, I think my bias is in the Ravens just being so solid for as long as they've been.
Yeah, my bias is just, I just think there was more creativity with the Harbaugh did. Remember, Lamar Jackson, we had Bill Polian talking about, should he go to wide receiver? It was John Harbaugh that stepped up, even with Flacco on the team. He was like, no, we're not going to be the team that misses on Lamar Jackson. We're going to get him at 32 overall. And then he had the right coach in place. At the time was Greg Roman that said, cater this, switch this whole offense up, cater. I just think there's more actual, like, intangible coaching stuff that you can lean on with Harbaugh. You go, he was always setting his team up for success, where McCarthy was kind of like, if it's not this way, we're screwed. Right.
I want to meet you in the middle on this argument, okay? Because I prefer John Harbaugh, and I think the resume even tells you John is slightly better. Would you at least agree that the rhetoric between the two head coaches is not consistent with the resumes?
I agree that Mike McCarthy gets disrespected based on his resume. That's what I agree with.
Okay. And I think that's the... It's kind of fascinating, especially with them both being available and the way most of us talk about them.
I just don't think he's the right fit for where the Giants are. I don't.
Okay.
That's
it. All right. Let's go to Joey Clams in Brooklyn. What's going on, Joey Clams?
How you doing? Listen, I've been a gambler for 50 years, and I watch every single football game.
Yep.
John Harbaugh has done a terrible job the last 4 years. They blew 12 10-point leads in the game in the fourth quarter the last 4 years. With the MVP quarterback and all-world running back and all-pro wide receivers, he cannot finish a game. The other Sunday, he lost his fastball. Sunday night, instead of giving the ball to Henry or Lamar Jackson with 13 seconds left to pick up three more four yards.
Oh, it was brutal.
He kneeled down on the ball.
Yep.
He kneeled down on the ball and pushed it back 2 yards and missed the field goal. He lost his fastball. Pump the brakes on him. He's been a horrible job the last 4 years. He blew big games and hasn't gotten to the Super Bowl.
Now, Joey, I guess my answer back to that would be outside of Sean McVay, I'll even put Nick Sirianni there right now, Andy Reid, that may be it. That may be the list. You can make that case for basically every coach
in the NFL.
There is
no perfect head coach.
Tomlin, people scream about in Pittsburgh with this stuff, too. And if you're available, like if he was the perfect head coach, I know it's been 18 years. Maybe the Ravens aren't getting rid of him either. Nobody you hire right now is not going to have some sort of minor wart you can find. That's it.
No, and I think the easy one for most Giant fans, which is why whenever the Steeler fan would call in and chime in on why you don't want Mike Tomlin, is the retort would be, have you seen who our coaches have been?
Yeah.
Like, they are significant upgrades over what the Giants have had. Now, what I appreciate about Joey's phone call, and I've got this all set up at 11 o'clock because I did a lot of research, going into the Baltimore Raven community, I went to Ravens Reddit.
Wow.
I listened to old Baltimore sports talk radio clips. I needed to find out what made them turn on John Harbaugh. Because we could sit here for 4 hours and just blow smoke up everyone's tuchus about how great John Harbaugh is. There clearly are flaws.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean they shouldn't hire him. It doesn't mean he isn't a good head coach. But when you're not watching a guy every day, we don't see the criticisms. We just don't.
I agree.
So I have put together a long list of criticisms of John Harbaugh, because I do think it's fair and probably good for all of us to address them.
Sure. Did any involve the boots he wore on Sunday night?
No, you were the only one who had that.
Oof.
Literally, when I was doing my research on criticisms of John Harbaugh, all of a sudden a picture of Sean Morash showed up.
Those boots.
And it was criticism of the boots he was wearing. Let's go to Joe D. in Queens. Hey, Joe D.
Hey, gentlemen. It's a pleasure speaking with you. I've been a fan for a long time. Glad to have you back at this time because I can listen to you during work. So.
Well, it's good to be back. It's been 6 years and it felt like yesterday. Me and Joe were standing here. What's on your mind, man?
Well, so I was just talking offline, and I think that you're missing the point on why the Jets should fire Aaron Glenn immediately.
Go.
All you're doing is comparing, well, if John Harbaugh may be available, you're missing the fact there are so many coaches that are available that are an improvement. Go one by one. Of course, John Harbaugh. Is Mike McCarthy an upgrade to Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
Is Kevin Stefanski an upgrade to Aaron Glenn?
Yeah.
Is potentially a Cliff Kingsbury an upgrade?
This is where we're going to veer off from each other, and this is where my opinion stands. Yes, the veteran coaches with resumes are better options than Aaron Glenn. I am very skeptical that these veteran coaches would take the Jet job, as I pointed out. What I don't want to do is fire a first-year head coach who, in the middle of the season, they traded their two best defensive players to hire another first-time coach, or in the case of Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who's still trying to prove they're a good NFL head coach.
Correct.
I don't want to go down that road. Now, some may. I understand the bet of, well, I'm going to make a wager that Clint Kubiak is a better first-time head coach than Aaron Glenn. Fine. I don't want to make that bet.
Okay.
So if it's the established guy like John Harbaugh or Mike Tomlin, absolutely. But I think if they fire Glenn, they ultimately end up hiring another first-time coach. I don't want to do that. I'd rather see it through with this guy. And if he sucks next year and the year after, fine, I move on. I'm not going to stick with him forever.
I totally get where you're coming from.
Thank
but you bring up if you were a betting man. All right, if you were a betting man, do you think at this time next year Aaron Glenn's fired anyway?
This reminds me of a moment on the old Midday Show.
Okay.
A very famous moment. I wish I had the audio of right now. Joe and I disliked Adam Gase, never wanted to hire. It was terrible. And that's the famous moment where Joe says to Brian Costello, exactly what you said. Do you think Gase is going to be the coach in 2 years? And after passionately...
Absolute stiff.
And of course, Brian Costello, being honest, because it's a loaded question, said no, caused Joe to do the famous... So, yeah, I mean, do I think it's going to work out? Dude, I'm a Jet fan. I don't think anything is going to work out. But I just would rather not go down the road of another first-time head coach. I'd rather see this through with Aaron Glenn. And, again, if it's John Harbaugh, of course. I just don't think he's taking the job.
I'm going to bring it back to the Giants. I'm going to speak from my experience. The Giants are notorious until this year of always firing their coach a year too early, year too late, and being on the off year when it comes to coaching classes. This has become the on year for coaching classes, and you don't want to be stuck in a year where it's an off year.
Anthony in Roselle Park. Hey, Anthony.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
Sorry, I just got a quick question. Why isn't Charlie Weiss's name being brought up? I saw his name on an article somewhere.
Yeah, his name is brought up as an offensive coordinator because of his history with Jackson Dart. And if he decides to not go to LSU with Lane Kiffin, I think it's a an interesting option. I don't want to say great option. I would say it's an interesting option.
He already technically did go with Lane Kiffin to LSU. He did take the OC job.
Well, but he did, but he didn't. It's like Bill Belichick took the Jet job until he decided not to.
Of course. Of course.
I think that he's an interesting name to think about, but it really has to be up to the new head coach. I mean, this is part of something Tiki has stressed a lot, which is the new head coach has to put a staff together. And that's up to whoever you hire. Now, does Charlie Wise Jr. appeal to you based on his familiarity with Jackson Dart?
Not ready to be a head coach yet. I need to see him call plays in the NFL level before I'm making him a head coach.
Let's go to Limo Driver Ed. What's up, Limo Driver Ed? LDE.
Hey, brother. How you guys doing? Happy New Year to you.
Thank you.
Hey, you know what's so funny is that between Tomlin and Harbaugh, these guys got families, man. So they're going to discuss what they do. And after 19 years, they need a time. They need at least a year off. Maybe go into the booth or do something like that, or analyst on, you know, one of the shows, Sports Channel. Everybody's trying to count what, you know, tell them what this man's going to do. You don't know what he's going to do.
You don't
he may
know
say,
what
hey, I got to take a year off.
You don't know what he's going to do. You're right. And Tiki argued back with me about Tomlin through my Tomlin prediction for a while that if him and Pittsburgh broke up, he would take a year off. Here's the sign that John Harbaugh is not taking a year off. He's already agreed to do interviews.
Yeah.
There's already a report of him meeting with the New York Giants coming up in just a couple of days. So I think the fact, in fact, let me read the actual tweet to you. Ian O'Connor, John Harbaugh meeting with the Giants could be as early as this weekend. Scheduling challenges might push it back to next week, but given that as many as 9 teams might be involved now, the Giants are acting urgently on this. They know the stakes. So that's not the meeting is set, but based on that, and Ian is certainly cued in.
Ian's very much all over what the Giants have been
that thinking. Sounds like there's going to be a meeting, and the assumption I'm going to make is if he's taking meetings, he's interested in coaching immediately.
Yeah, and I would agree with Ed if Harbaugh wasn't 63 years old. I think you do run into that danger. Not that Harbaugh wouldn't get hired next year at 64, but once you start to hit that age, 63, 60, the longer you step away, the less desirable a hire you
become. Here's the other thing that's amazing to me. I disagree with you about John Harbaugh in that regard. Okay. Age is a number, but it's so hypocritical. Certain people are talked about with their age more than others. You were stunned the other day when I brought up that John was 63.
I know.
Because he's skinny, because he's in shape, and because he looks young. There's a perception of John Harbaugh that he is a young guy. He's older than Mike McCarthy. He's in his 60s. He's almost a senior citizen. And I'm not picking on his age because I think age is completely overrated and just a number. But I think that a part of the hypocrisy that we all have, all of us, I'm not excluded from that, in the way we talk about some of these candidates is based on their presentation. And there's no doubt that the fact that John Harbaugh shows up at the Ravens facility at 5 a.m. and does squats at 480 pounds, which is like a true story, I think continues the perception that he's not an old guy.
Yeah, you know, you take away a year away and you start eating Fritos, things change. You know what I mean? You're not up at 5 a.m.
That's you.
That's anybody. Anybody retires in their 60s, they get fat.
I don't think John Harbaugh would.
John Harbaugh doesn't coach this year. I guarantee he gains 40 pounds. Guaranteed.
Look, I think we agree he's coaching next year.
Yes.
I don't think he's taking a year off.
Yes.
Why?
Speaking of which, the Giants Drive of the Game is brought to you by the New Jersey Division of Highway Traffic Safety, reminding you to make the right choice. Don't drive impaired. While the Giants had plenty of drives that led to the end zone in their finale on Sunday, the real drive they have to be is who's picking up John Harbaugh from the airport and bringing him here to make sure he is living a life of luxury. The Giants are driving to hire a new head coach, and John Harbaugh is top of mind.
Why did Raven fans turn on John Harbaugh? We'll go through some of the big critiques of John over the last couple of years, plus more of your calls at 888-808-1019. Evan and Tiki with Sean Morash.